How are we to relate to painful experiences we sometimes have to go through in life? Hi, this is Zdravko Stefanović from Walla Walla College School of Theology. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that focuses on biblical topics and discussions. Today we are continuing our series of topics based on one of the less known books of the Bible, the book of Ecclesiastes. To help us explore this challenging book, I have invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Anthony Abbey, Chair of the Computer Science Department at Walla Walla College, and Professor Jean-Paul Crimaud, Chair of Modern Languages at the same school. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you, and thanks for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you.
I also thank Suzanne, our technical assistant, who is making a valuable contribution to the recording of this program. We depend so much on her. So the question dealing with the dark side of life is, can difficulties in life teach some profound dimensions of life? I'm thinking here of the American novelist Thomas Wolfe, who wrote, "Ecclesiastes is the greatest single piece of writing I have ever known, and the wisdom expressed in it the most lasting and profound." Chapter 4 of Ecclesiastes is short, and it deals with the dark side of life in which oppression, toil, and loneliness reign. It can teach us some very deep lessons about life that come from the world of suffering and pain. And in the first four verses, we have that dark side of life described. And my question is, isn't this a grim picture of life, of the oppressed?
Well, what would be the alternative? Let's suppose any time there was oppression, it was fixed immediately. It's very tough to imagine that kind of state. And what the teacher's observation here is that there are things that are not remedied in life. And in a future chapter, we'll look at what that remedy might be, and I think one of the things that we see here is he doesn't note people trying to fix the problems.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of, I mean, to me, it's almost insulting that nobody is there to fix the problem. And so it's a challenge to me, I suppose, from the perspective of a post-Enlightenment sort of culture, because we do worry about people and their state. But have we fixed anything yet?
Yeah. I don't want to be negative, but it seems to me that there are problems that cannot be fixed. And in many cases, it's better to be dead than to be alive, in my view.
That's in verse 3. We are coming to that hyperbolic statement. But before we get to verse 3, I hope, Jean-Paul, that you will allow us just to look at the first two verses. "Again, I looked and saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they have no comforter. Power was on the side of their oppressors, and they have no comforter. As I declared that the dead who had already died are happier than the living who are still alive." And here I pause for a moment. The teacher tells us, "I was a king in Jerusalem." Was it normal for a king to take notice of the less privileged member of society? Was it normal?
Probably not. Although I don't know what the size of the kingdom was and his level of contact with the common people, so to speak.
There's a saying in Europe that says, "The one who is full does not believe the one who is hungry," or something like that. So it amazes me that this king, at the same time teacher, he bothered to look at the less privileged.
But he noticed, but did not solve the problem, did not try to solve the problem.
This is retrospective. Maybe he wished he had that.
That could be, certainly.
And by the way, let's speak something else in his behalf. Even if he did, isn't this a universal problem?
Yes.
It extended far beyond his boundaries, and that's what tortured him.
And so it's a reflection, again, of reality, empirical reality.
Mm-hmm. So let's come now to that hyperbolic statement. But better than both is he who has not yet been, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. So the best thing is not to be born.
None of us ask to be born.
I didn't choose to be born.
That's right.
Right.
And fortunate in our experience is that we are enjoying a relatively good life.
Yes. Yeah.
But there are certainly cultures and situations, and even in the local community, mm-hmm. where I think a person could say that with a great deal of meaning.
Yes.
So should a situation like this one motivate those who are privileged to help the underprivileged? That's almost like a rhetorical question, isn't it? Well, and then in verse 4, there is something very puzzling and probably disturbing. And I saw that all labor and all achievement spring from man's envy of his neighbor. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Is it true that many achievements in our world spring from sheer envy? And here I'm taming the teacher. I'm saying many. He said all.
Well, I would probably use the word friendly competition instead of envy. I don't know. I mean, it would certainly include all of the above. There is a natural sort of rivalry, and that's healthy, but it can be carried to an extent where it becomes detrimental, and I think that's what he's seeing happening here. Mm. But I do like the following verses where the author, the teacher, begins to pick up a more hopeful and helpful
Let's look at them, because I appreciate what the two of you have been doing here, and that is whenever we have gone into some difficult passages, you tell me, but let's read what follows, and we should do that too.
But didn't he say that there is a time to mourn?
Yes.
And to you know,
that's right.
Suffer, you know, in silence, and
yes.
So that's part of it, I guess, right?
Yes, and that's also part of our discussion here, that those moments can be very educating, informative. However, it wouldn't be good to dwell on those forever, right?
That's correct.
There must come a change. So, yes, I agree with you. It's worth looking at the verses that follow. Again, I saw something meaningless under the sun. And would you like to read verses 8 through, or I should say, yeah, just verse 8.
There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil, yet his eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business.
So, those who are underprivileged, they don't have much in this world, and those who are privileged, they face a very important reality toward the end of their lives, and what is it about?
Well, if you see the challenges if you see the end of everything on this earth, in some ways, you know, the whether you are poor or rich, you know, it's, you know, the end is going to be the same anyway. But if you see more things, more opportunities beyond that existence, maybe it is different.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me tie this back with verse 6, first of all. In earlier, before verse 6, there was this wealth and oppression issue. And in verse 6, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation. Mm-hmm. Being satisfied with what you have or perhaps can't change. And then In verse 8, we're dealing with, I see it, a new subject that is aloneness. And when we go into verse 9 through 12, there's the concept of friendship and two people working together in contrast with the one person of verse 8. Mm-hmm. And isn't community a real blessing? Isn't friendship something that gives meaning to mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm. And exactly, that's what the point of verse 8 is, you know, he had neither son nor brother.
Yes.
So God's blessings make much more sense when they are enjoyed in a company together. And especially, isn't it a blessing to see someone who does not have much and is suddenly being helped and so on? And that expression on the face of someone who's being helped and is grateful is beyond price, beyond any price.
Yes, but you know what I see in those verses is the idea of desire. Mm-hmm. And personal desire, deep desire, is endless. There is no end to desire. And that's why he says this too is meaningless. Because mm-hmm. how can we deal with that endlessness of desire? Mm-hmm. Can we as human beings support that? Can we internalize that endlessness of desire?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can be tiring. It can be overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. So, Anthony's idea of being inclusive, sharing mm-hmm. with someone, and so on, maybe an answer to that.
Yeah, maybe that's an answer. Yeah. For sure, maybe.
Here is another important point from our chapter, and it comes close to Ecclesiastes 5:15 that says, "Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand." How many material goods will we be able to take with us when we die?
Nothing.
Naked. We'll be naked.
Job has similar statements.
Yes.
And that is a sobering thought, that the goods on this earth are for us to enjoy and to share with others while we are alive and while others are alive. Because to build monuments afterwards and so on may be a worthy act to do, but it's not the best thing. It's the appreciation that we show to people while they are still with us,
yes.
while they still can feel it. That's what is of value.
Have you noticed that people are not buried naked?
Mm.
So we still grab on that, you know.
Try to retain
the mm-hmm. material
right.
goods.
Well, in summarizing, we can say that the author was a king, and as such, he must have been the most privileged member of society. Yet, since he was a wise king, his high status did not prevent him from having a deep interest in the lives of the least fortunate citizens of the kingdom. I would like to thank both Dr. Anthony Abbey and Professor Jean-Paul Grimaud for their valuable contributions. Next time again, they'll be my guests, and I'm also grateful to Suzanne for her technical assistance here. Please join us next week as we continue to explore the messages from the same book, the book of Ecclesiastes. Thank you all for tuning in. For Probe, I'm Slavko Stefanovic.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.